Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for joining Blog Talk Radio, our midweek prayer and teaching gathering. We appreciate your patience. We apologize for the inconvenience, but we know that as we come together with one heart, one mind, and a love for one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be blessed. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We will turn the remaining of the class over to our own ambassadorial prophet, Prophet Michael Henderson. Prophet?
Yes, good evening, Blog Talk family. Again, thank you, Overseer, for your due diligence. Thank you for each individual who kept pressing their way in. We do appreciate this time of sharing and excited about what God is doing and what God has done for us individually and collectively. Pray that you have enjoyed looking at our 2020 prophetic word as we have excavated this word, and we've had good dialogue and conversation about what God is doing. And I have definitely been appreciative of those, each and every one of you, who share weekly and express the revelation that God is downloading in your heart. As we've been looking at this 2020 prophetic declaration, we are excited about what God has brought out. We are excited that you are part of this revelatory and prophetic conversation. We hope that you've enjoyed your life work by continuing to look at Genesis 48, 12 through 19, and also looking at 2 Kings 2, 9 through 14. We thank each and every one of you for your recap and what we have learned as it relates to mantles and walking in the double portion. Again, while we are preparing to read a scripture, we encourage you to continue to grab your journals and scribe what you are hearing, what the Lord has said, as we continue to maturate as a community, as you share. I believe that as each one of us download, with each one of us upload what we have been download, it is allowing us to maturate as a community. And I know we've been excited about the fresh momentum and the manifestation and all of the unrevealed miracles that God has released on each and every one of us. So we'll read once again our Psalms 96 scripture, our New Year scripture, verses 1 through 3. It says, at the dawn of the new year, I am filled with hope for what has come, and I have thankfulness in my heart for what has already passed. I pray that I will keep my focus where it needs to be this year, and that we'll all have a year filled with joy and happiness. Amen. I just love that scripture. And then I'll read another scripture. Let us read a scripture from Romans 7:15-20, and this is out of the Passion Version. It says, I am a mystery to myself, for I want to do what is right, but end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. And if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still conforms the excellence of the law. And now I realize that it is no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. For I know that nothing good lies within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but willpower is not enough to accomplish it. My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do the things I want to avoid. So if my behavior contradicts my desire to do good, I must conclude that it is not my true identity doing it, but the welcome intruders of sin hindering me from being who I really am. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we pray intentionally with your divine will at the center of our hearts. We believe that you have greatness for us individually and collectively. We gather this evening as a community with one heart and one purpose to hear your voice for our lives, our community, our church, our city, our country, and this nation. We pray that as we are excavating this prophetic word that you have spoken today, we receive wisdom and new strategies for this new season and this new decade that we are in. We say goodbye to a poverty mindset. We say goodbye to poor decision making. We say goodbye to poor eating habits and inappropriate behaviors. We say goodbye to sickness and diseases. We say goodbye to addictions. And we decree today our mission is clear, our vision is unobstructed, our intentions are pure. Our soul is motivated. The soul of our soul is motivated. Our mind, body, and spirit is healthy and strong. And today we decree that we receive revelation that will change our life for the rest of our life as you launch us into the good decade that you have declared over us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So once again, let's look at and read our 2020 prophetic declaration, and then let's do some recap as we continue to move forward and reveal, just come to know the heart of God concerning this year moving into this new decade. It says we have declared 2020 as the year of the strategic crossover, the year where you will see what the Lord has said. The word of the Lord declares, but Israel stretched out his hand and crossed his arm, laying his right hand on the head of Ephraim the younger and his left hand on the head of Manasseh the firstborn. And he spoke these blessings over Joseph. We believe God is strategically speaking blessings over us in 2020 that will radically change your life. We decree you will not miss fire in this season, but you will bullseye and hit your spiritual target. Your latter years are about to be greater than your former years. God has placed his hand over you, and you are headed in a new direction. God is guiding you towards his divine and strategic plan for your life. 2019 was the year of the eye in Hebrew, and this year is the year of the open mouth. We ended a decade singing, and we are beginning a decade declaring. We will declare what the Lord has said, and we will see what he is saying. We are entering to a new decade and a new era of creativity. God said and he saw. And God saw everything that he had said, created, and that it was very good. This would be the beginning of your good decade. You will behold great promises and walk in strategic blessings God has prepared for you and your family. We are declaring momentum, maturation, manifestation, miracles, and mantles over God's mission, mandate, and ministry for your life. We declare that the mantles of innovation, inspiration, and creation be released over you in 2020. May you walk in double, be divinely focused, and may the all-powerful hand of God be over you like you have never experienced. We pray, may God use you to bring the kingdom of this world into divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. That is our prophetic declaration. Amen. Now, we began to talk about, we started looking at, the Genesis scripture, which is in Genesis 48, and we've also looked at 2 Kings 2:9-14. We've identified the two sons. We've recognized that the crossover blessing is about a strategic positioning. Joseph had strategic position the two sons because of Israel's eyesight. And we identified that Israel did not misfire. He hit his spiritual target. He did not have eyesight, but he had vision. He understood what the plan and the purpose of God was. And so even though Joseph had strategically placed the older in front of his, the younger one in his left hand and the older in his right hand, the scripture identified that Israel crossed over. He made a strategic crossover. He took his right hand and laid it on the younger son and took his left hand and laid it on the older son. And we identified that his sight did not hinder his vision. And that's been one of our key words, even as we are moving forth in this 2020 declaration. It is about vision. It is about understanding what God is doing. In spite of how we've been used to doing things, in spite of how things have customly or normally been known, we want to know the vision of God. It was tradition. It was order for the older to receive the blessing. And we understand that the blessing also represented the double portion. And we understand that we've also declared 2020 as a year of the double portion. It is a year of a double blessing. It is the year of clear vision. Our apostle declared over us as an apostolic house that we won't just have sight, we will have vision. And in this season, we won't misfire. We will hit our spiritual target. And then we began to look at this powerful concept of mantles and identifying what they are and receiving the five graces that are attached to it. And those graces are power, position, authority, protection, and reverence. And even though the eldest son was to receive the double portion, as it was a distinct sign that he was close to the father, he was next to be an heir and possess the inheritance and the promises that God had declared. We understand that this is the year of our latter days. This is the year that God wants to release those double portions on us. He wants us to receive. And we've talked about this mantle even from the perspective of it being spiritual. And one of the powers behind the mantle was it was visible, the sight. When you identified a mantle in the old day, in the Old Testament, it was identified as a distinct garment. It was identified because it represented a symbol of authority and power. Some of the clear things that we see in Scripture as it relates to mantles, they were worn by priests, they were worn by prophets, they were worn by kings. They were a very fine linen. They were very, or often made of fur, or they were made of a fine linen. Excuse me. It was a woven garment. It was worn, like we said, by key priests, kings, rich men. We get an example of it that said how Samuel's mom made him a coat. We identify it through Joseph's coat of many colors. And so this was the sight of a mantle. And one of the things I wanted us to look at it too is that the hand of God, it is seen on our lives. That's oftentimes where people have identified something different about you. You know, you have this light, or the New Testament says it that way. He says that we are the light of this world. Wherever we go in dark places, we should light up those areas. We should look at how our grace, the power and authority on our life is transferable, and it's transferable to from one generation to the next generation. And we want to allow that to flow. We want to have that power behind it. And then when we look at Joseph's sons, when we look at the name Ephraim, it is the Hebrew word for being fruitful. It refers to Joseph's ability to produce children, especially while he was in Egypt, while he was in a place of bondage, while he was in a place that he shouldn't have been fruitful. The scripture identifies that he was able to bear fruit. And I think that that is so powerful for us, no matter what state, even when we feel like we're in a barren state, even when we feel like we're not in a place that we can give life, because of who we are, because of what God has decreed and declared over us, we are able to bring forth much fruit. You know what the testimony of Israel was in Egypt was? They kept multiplying. No matter the hardship, no matter what Pharaoh was doing, no matter the bondage that Pharaoh was putting on them, they continued to grow. They were growing by multitudes. They were growing to the place that the slaves were outweighing them. It was more in slavery than it was. It was more in slavery than it was out of slavery, or more of the people of Egypt. Israel was outgrowing them. They were continually to be a place of fruitfulness. And I want us to be able to receive that both naturally and spiritually. No matter what the enemy does, God has the ability to continue to multiply us. And we were looking at 2 Kings, and we talked about how Elisha received this double portion. And we began to identify the places. We gleaned on a revelation that the Lord shared with evangelist Katie, that looking at Elijah going through those different places and even identifying them as the movement of the seven mountains. And I got excited about that because I also begin to see that as what we're talking about. It is that kingdom rising. It is us being planted in our field, in our sphere of influence and dominating, because that is the mandate on our lives. That is the Adam covenant that rests upon us. That covenant says that we are to be what? Fruitful. We are to multiply. We are to subdue. And we are to replenish. And that same power, that same grace still rest upon us to this very day, that we can be fruitful, that we can multiply, that we can subdue, we can replenish this earth, we can replenish, we can restore what God has decreed and declared over our lives. So let's just go back one more time and let's conclude where we started. Let's look at Genesis 48. Let's excavate that scripture some more. Let's be sensitive to what we are hearing God says to us individually and what we have shared collectively. Not sure if anyone that is on the line had an opportunity to just was looking at this during the course of the week. The Lord share something, or maybe something came out last week and you did not get an opportunity to share, and you are living to release what it is that the Lord has shared with you. I do believe that your phone is off mute, and if there's anyone before we go back to the Genesis scripture would like to share, you may do so at this time.
Prophet, I wanted to share something.
Yeah.
I believe, I'm not exactly sure how long ago it's been now. It's in one of my other journals. But as it relates to the mantle that the ministry carries, and two, that the individual carry, the Lord has showed me something. It's probably been quite a few years, and I don't even know if I've ever shared it, but he kept showing me these mantles, these prayer shawls, and he kept showing me these sandals. He kept giving me these things. He actually was handing me sandals and running shoes and a sapphire necklace and a golden hammer and a flying Bible, you know, that was actually alive and talking and declaring. And as he kept giving me these things, and he was giving them to me piece by piece, he asked me, what was it that I had? And so I started to naming the things that he had given me. And he said, do you not realize the whole armor? The whole armor. So, you know, as he is opening up these mantles to us, we need to also understand that it's a part of the whole armor, that God has made for us. Now, even in looking at the whole armor of God, it's just that. It's the whole armor of God, and depending on the position that you hold in the kingdom, your armor is going to look a little bit different, and he's going to make sure that we have the armor necessary for the position that we've been placed in. Our place on the wall, our place on the mountain, you know, wherever it is he's sending us to. I wanted to bring that out. I didn't want to actually change the order of things, but while we were talking about the mantle, understand that it's actually a part of our armor. That was it.
Amen. No, thank you. No, I think that is so in line with, you know, with the with, you know, even when we think about Old Testament, we understand that Old Testament, we often say that New Testament is Old Testament is Old Testament revealed. And so it was very important in Old Testament days, the clothing, you know, the garment, everyone was identified by garment, from a slave to a priest to a king to a poor man. And so as we talked about that mantle, that Old Testament concept, we understand that it was tangible. It was, it was made out of linen. It was distinct. You knew, you understood that the long blue one was a mantle of a priest. And so I think that is so very connected, because now, God is the same yesterday, today, and ever, forever. He still dresses his believers distinctively, and our distinct garment, New Testament believer, is the armor of God. It is one of the, I think there's five things that God in New Testament, he tells us to put on. And so the armor is one of those things that we have to put on, and to identify that you have a built-in mantle. I think it's powerful, and I pray that we receive it that way, because many of us have made excuses. You know, we've said, if I had this, you know, I always say, you know, if I could have the revelation like Apostle Shawnette, or if I could sing like somebody else, I would do this, you know, because I'm distinct. Their mantle is distinct. It's visible. I see it, and I also understand the vision of it. But we are all without an excuse, because when we look at a mantle, when we look at the grace, we have that power, that position, that authority, that protection, and that reverence upon us. And when you know it, then you are able to walk in. And I don't have the authority in another person's house, but I have the authority within my own, and my mantle fits that. And so I think I think it's excellent to bring out. I think it's very powerful to share. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? That is what this is about. Amen. I will have a direct order. We just have some structure. So however the Holy Spirit needs to lead us, we are open for that. All right. So let's look at Genesis 48. And let's conclude what I wanted to point out just really quick. Yes.
Yeah. Can you hold on 1 second? The apostle wants to share as it relates to that armor and what the Lord has given her.
What he shared on Tuesday in prayer, related to the spirit of heaviness. And sometimes we wear a spirit of heaviness because we've allowed people to cloak us with their stuff. And so therefore their stuff is heavy and weighs us down. But it's because we have not put on the whole armor of God. And had I put on the armor of God that was assigned to me, you know, both naturally and spiritually, and from a gifting and position perspective, then the armor of the world would not have been able to hit me or stay on me, because God armor that we have a responsibility to wear, he wouldn't allow something to be put on top of that. I'm botching this up really badly, but the summation of it is that we've allowed people to dress us with their stuff, even if it's their precepts or concepts about us. Okay, and so I have become weighed down with other people's garments, okay, or with other people's stuff, and it is because I did not have on the appropriate armor of God. As we go from season to season and gifting to gifting and office to office, and therefore, as a result, I became buried down because the world, weighted down. And so it was like having on, if you like know about those weighted vests, and then going from a weighted vest to a weighted outfit then to a weighted blanket. And so,
I'm going to say, like David, they're trying to put on him the king's armor. And he realized, I can't move around in this.
Amen.
But it weighted him down.
So the summation is, don't allow people to dress you in their stuff and their issue about you or what you're doing. And make sure that you have on the appropriate armor of God for the season, dimension, realm, gifting, office, whatever it is that you are in, and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit on when it's time to change your armor, i.e. your clothes. So
Amen.
He takes the spirit of heaviness off of us and replaces it with a garment of praise, and it's only his garments that fit appropriately over his armor. The other stuff, if it fits you and you're wearing it and you're laying down with it, it's because you don't have all the proper garment, the proper armor of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Powerful.
Apostle.
Thank you. Yeah. Apostle, one thing, the vision of you being at the at the new location without your mantle or prayer shawl on, I think that fits perfectly with what you just said. You know, either a missing garment or wearing the wrong garment or not being dressed. That fits perfectly.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Wow, thank you.
And I believe that garment of that prayer garment is what we're putting on Tuesday as a body, as we prepare to go in. And I think one of the things this apostle was sharing is the fact that the garment, the mantle in the New Testament is representative of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the power that the mantle goes over the armor of God. And one of the functions of the mantle is to protect. In the Old Testament, you said to show the authority. It was also to mm-hmm. protect and to keep that king mm-hmm. or that leader warm. Okay? And I believe that mantle that we receive from Holy Spirit is the empowerment for the proper functioning of the armor of God.
Amen. Amen. Did you were you still talking, overseer? It kind of faded out.
Oh no, it's probably my
okay.
But no, that was basically it. Yes, sir.
Oh no, thank you. Powerfully. Amen. That's what this is about. Anybody else? Maybe that's we still lingering in this mantle. there is revelation there that we need to look at. Even as you are
Amen.
Talking, I began to think about, two things distinctively, not sure how they tie in, but when we think about what Apostle shared on was it last Sunday, the whole Esther season, such a time as this, as she was talking, I began to see that even, you know, Esther had a particular garment or mantle that she wore, you know. When we think about Israel, when we think about these two sons, how Jacob received the blessing was because he put on Esau's mantle. The father touched him, and he felt him, and he said, oh, the garment. He understood the garment, and that is why he released those blessings over Jacob at that time, because he was be able to, he understood the how his son felt, the cloth, the hurt that was on his son. So not sure what those have anything to do with, but as Apostle was sharing and as Evangelist Katie was sharing, those things came out. So and remember, that is the next thing that we've declared. We have been declaring momentum. We've been declaring maturation. We've been declaring manifestation. We've been declaring miracles. And the Lord said to declare mantles this year. And so I'm excited about that. That is us, again, like we're saying, we are excavating this word. We are hearing what God is saying, and that, I believe, what makes this time on Blog Talk so powerful. It is just us listening, having this kind of revelatory, prophetic conversation, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to us as we learn on that Sunday too, so that we can be positioned in our freedom, because that's what that word, as Apostle taught us, meant. It meant statue. It meant position. We stand in the liberty that Christ has positioned us, statued us in our freedom. So when a garment of heaviness comes, we stand in the liberty that we have the mantle of praise on us. You know, we have to be statues, stand in that place of freedom. We are standing in a position of prayer that God said possess. This is our land. We are occupying. And so we understand that we allow the Holy Spirit to position us in a place of prayer. I'm excited because I don't want to share a revelation too quick because I don't feel grasp it. But when Apostle was praying on Sunday and when she prayed on Tuesday, Psalms 150, and he said, praise him in the sanctuary. The Lord began to show me as she was praying that, well, now that's Old Testament, but New Testament, we are the sanctuary of God. And the first thing that he pointed out was, it says, praise him with a trumpet. And he said the trumpet was our voice. The trumpet is the wind instrument. It wasn't until the early, after the 1500s, that the trumpet was a sound for music. The trumpet was originally a sound for war. It was a cry for, it was a declaration for war, and it was also a cry for victory. And so the Lord began to break down Psalms 150 as it relates to us physically. The sounding cymbals is our hands. And so we haven't got all of it yet, but you know, I definitely know that the trumpet was the wind instrument. It's our voice. It was comes out. And sometimes we may say, oh, why are we doing this in church? Because we said all the time, shout unto the Lord, lift your voices. But it really means something. So we're working on that revelation. But you got me stirred up.
Amen. Amen.
So, yes, anyone else? Okay, so the only thing I wanted to point out from, you know, Genesis 48, I wanted to look at it, you know, I the Lord, it has to be God, because he sent me to the King James Version, and so it was in there that it was more conversation that came up that that me and Overseer had a conversation. And so I'm just kind of sharing, like, again, you know, nothing happened by chance, a conversation that we began to talk about. that when I wanted to look at Genesis 48, I felt led to read it in the King James Version, and it goes back to this place. So Genesis 48, verse 12, it said, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took both Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel, left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, and toward Israel right hand, and brought them near unto him. We know verse 14, Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand willingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And what I brought out, me and Overseer had a conversation, and this thing of posture has come back up. And we were talking about how there was a time that most of us knew how to pray. We prayed on our knees. And so we were talking about how posture is important as well. And I was telling them, I didn't even know I brought it out Sunday and Sunday's message about how different postures got different results. And then Apostle on Monday brought up posture again about being in a prayer posture. And then when we wanted to look at Genesis 48, this posture, this knee thing came up again, the bowing himself with his face to the earth. And we said a little bit on last Wednesday, it wasn't until Joshua fell and bowed that Jericho bowed. When Joshua bowed his face to the commander's army in Joshua 5, and Joshua 6, Jericho fell and bowed to Joshua. And so I don't know, it's just pointed out again there, and I believe that God is positioning us in a new posture, that there is a posture that has to take place that is beginning to get some results as well. So anyone else? Obviously, I know we had a conversation on it.
Amen. Amen. And I believe that in that posture on our Tuesday prayer, and it is my task was the blood, and he has really, oh my God, been revealing so much that in that gives us a place where we are then allowed on the mountain of the Lord. Who shall ascend unto the mountain of the Lord? Again, another position. How do you get there? And he says, only if you have a clean hand and a pure heart. And those are the things that cover the shed blood of Christ, covers and cleanses. And as it covers and cleanses us, and then the Holy Spirit gives us the mantle and the power of it, then we are allowed on that mountain in order to bring the things of that mountain to the mountains of the world. And so that positioning comes with that prostrate before the Lord, bowing down and coming to the end of our own self, that position of surrender, of releasing our own will to the will of the Father. That's what happened in the garden. He got to that position, and then the powerful, you know, one in a creation time thing happened as Christ went to the cross and did the things that would be necessary. He said he fixed us to fit us. He fixed us so that he could fit us in and on his mountain. And that's what the shed blood of Christ that's covered through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is part of that mantle and that anointing and that armor, the individual armor being those areas where that cleansing happens. And it's like the Holy Spirit, he sealed that by covering us. And then, you know, than the Holy Spirit, than the righteousness of Christ covers everything. So that's all the Father sees, and then we're up on that holy mountain.
Amen. As we are looking at it, one of the things that we want to continue to take note in, define that he brought them out and out from his knees, bowed himself before him. As we were looking at it, and this conversation of posture kept coming up, and the Lord began to share with me that there is a posture within our position that is bringing forth his promise. And so we can see that during the course of this, and maybe part of that posture within our position is our garment of praise. You know, it may be your reverence unto the Lord. As you continue to read that particular passage of scripture, when the scripture talks about how when Joseph realized that according to the tradition, according to the norm, Israel was not blessing the older son, he tried to remove his hand, his father's hand, off of his head. But the scripture said he refused. You know, he refused. The father refused in verse 13 and said, "I know my son. I know it. It shall come to pass. He shall become a people, and he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and he shall, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh." And so one of the things that the Lord just began to minister to us was that our fruitfulness will be greater than our affliction. And so oftentimes we focus on the affliction and not realizing that our fruitfulness, there greater is he that's in you. God has done more for you exceedingly abundantly. You know, the old folk in my day, the church used to say seen and unseen, you know, all of the dangers that he's kept us from, all of the behind the scenes that the headquarters of heaven has been constantly at work on our behalf is our place to rejoice. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Before I die, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren." Verse 22, here we go. We're talking about that double portion again. "And I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." So he began to declare even to Joseph that he had given him a double portion. And we understand that Joseph, again, was not the oldest son. He was one of the youngest son, but he was that son of favor. And so verse 22, he began to describe that he has given him a double portion. And so I really want us to embrace that in this season. And when we look at, you know, even Joseph's story, when we look at Joseph's life, it wasn't Joseph's dream that it Joseph's dream didn't bring Joseph's stuff to pass. It was the cupbearer's dream that brought forth Joseph. And I believe also when we talk about this strategic crossover, we're also talking about strategic connections. God wants to connect us with the right people. You had three men, you had two men dreaming, and one man dream was the dream that connected with Joseph's dream that brought Joseph's dream to pass. And when the cupbearer should have been preparing to die, he was still dreaming in his prison. So don't stop dreaming. Don't stop believing. You never know how your dream is a connective to someone else's dream. And I believe that God is going to bring dreamers together, and we're going to see the plan and the purposes of God. It was Elijah and Elisha's, the connecting of those dreams that came together, that allowed, you know, what if Joseph would have, you know, took his dream and, you know, just been like, oh, it's his dream that has to make what God said happen. No, it was that cupbearer's dream, because Joseph interpreted and told him, in 3 days, you're going to be restored back to your position. Remember me. We do know that he didn't remember him right away, but yet he did. And so it was that cupbearer's dream that connected with Joseph's dream that brought Joseph's dreams into fruition. And so I believe we're also entering into that season of connectivity. There's a prophetic word over our candidates that the Lord is saying they will build and bless. They would do. So it's this double full kind of portion. It may be you as a builder, but you have the blessing to bring that to pass. It's you who have the ministry, but it is you who have the money, and we'll connect that double, and now your money have purpose and my ministry has vision. And so we want to be sensitive. We want to hear what it is that God is saying, how he is connecting dreamers together, how we are in a strategic season of a prophetic crossover. We are living out these mantles. I said a couple of years ago, we talked about just some restorative mantles that we believe were falling in the earth, and the Lord had us again to begin to pray those mantles. We prayed them on Tuesday, and I wanted to know, you know, why was some of those mantles significant? What was it about those particular mantles that God was saying would begin to fall in the earth again? And the Lord began to show me that some of those mantles was because we are in a season of innovation. We are in a season of creation. We are in a season where God wants to reveal and release great things in the earth and restore some creativity that have begun, and that we can continue to release and manifest. And so as our prophetic word has declared over you, as we have been rehearsing it, speaking it, like the woman with the issue of blood, if I would touch the hem of his garment, if I would touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. We are decreeing that you will walk in double, that you will be divinely focused, and that the all-powerful hand of God will be over you like never before. You are strategically positioned in your sphere of influence, in your fields, to bring the kingdom of this world into the divine alignment with the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is trusting mantles over you. He's enlarging the person of the Holy Spirit. There's more truth being revealed about you and who God created you to be, so that you can walk it out in this good decade. You don't get hung up if it don't show up in 2020. It will show up within the next 9 years, because you are planning now for a good decade that you will experience everything according to Genesis 131a. Everything that God said, remember the law of words, the first foundation is creation, not communication. Everything God said, he saw and he declared that it was very good. That word good is also fruitful. He said it's fruitful. It will multiply. It will continue to replenish. It will continue to dominate in this earth. And so we are excited. We are excited with you. We are excited for you. We are excited about God's strategic promises, his strategic blessings that he is releasing over you and your family in this season. Amen. Anyone else before we close? Amen. Well, I hope you have enjoyed going through the 2020 word. I encourage you to continue to meditate on it, continue to excavate it, write things down. Let's have moments where we will share. Amen. We are excited about February. Me and Apostle was having conversation just about what February will look like. Not sure she has come to a conclusion as of yet, but February may be about some training. So we have some very exciting things coming up, and we do want you to be a part, share with someone, you know, have a watch party. We're going to be talking about even on Sundays, and we want to begin to develop these IEGs, which is our intimate encounter groups, which is formerly known as cell groups, but you know, Labels of Christ, we have our own language. And so ours are going to be called IEGs. They are intimate encounter groups. And that's what we want you to experience, that intimacy of God and then that intimacy with one another. And so if you are someone who would like to be a leader of an IEG or like to host an IEG, and we'll definitely give you more detail about what that looks like, what the leadership responsibility look like, and what the hosting responsibility look like. Start thinking about that. Start praying about that. And so we can begin to develop that in our church community and then take it abroad, even outside of our four walls. And so there are some exciting things that we are continuing to come up that is in development. And so our prayer is that you will continue to be prayerful. Don't just anticipate. Don't just spectate. But participate. Your participation is important. We're talking about understanding that what we do for the Lord is not a duty. It is a ministry. And we don't want anyone that is in our community to be like that third talent. Will you take the treasure? The scripture said he took the treasure and he hid it. And the Lord came back and called him wicked and took from his mantle and gave it to the person who already had five, who doubled it to 10 working for him. And so don't hide that treasure that God has in you. Let's begin to talk about what that these opportunities look like. Let's cultivate what we want to believe that God wants to do in the earth through Labors for Christ Ministries. Anything else? Apostle, overseer.
Nope.
All righty. All right, well, again, anyone else before we close out in prayer?
You don't have an announcement? Okay.
All right. Father, we thank you for this amazing month. Thank you for all that you have shared and have downloaded in our hearts. Thank you for each individual who have opened their eyes, who have who have opened their ears and their hearts to hear and to receive. Thank you, Father, for those who are who their presence is elevating the conversation as they are sharing, and even those. Even though they're silent, yet their presence is motivating, and we feel it and sense it. And so we thank you for what you are doing. We pray that we will continue to grow with this prophetic word, and we will go with this prophetic word. We will run with it. Because the vision is made plain. We know where you are taking us. We are excited about what you are doing over these next 9 years of our lives individually and collectively. And we are praying, we are planting, and we are planning for it. And we thank you, and we give you all glory and honor and praise. We are on the edge of our seats because you keep getting gooder and gooder. You are constantly taking us from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We thank you that we're only tapped into great, but we know that greater and greatest is coming. You will continue to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and all we can actually dream or even imagine. I thank you for this community. I thank you for these. I thank you for this community. I thank you for individuals that you have planted in the house of the Lord. I decree and declare that they will begin to see that flourishing. They will see it in every area of their life. They will see it mind, body, soul, and spirit. They will see it in their house. They will see it in their families. I decree the word of Leviticus. They will have to move out last year's harvest. They will still be eating last year's harvest when they will have to move it out and make room for more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
We'll see you Sunday at 2:30. See you fire starters at 2:15. Do not meet us there. Beat us there. I believe someone shared a scripture. I think it was Evangelist Katie, that we will have double energy. We want you to come Sunday with double energy. Amen. Ready to bless the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. You come, because he said everything I breath saying, come with your trumpets. On Wednesday, your voice is shouting and declaring the word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.